I saw that a brand reached out to me, it was not because I had tons of subscribers or tons of views, but they reached out to me because I was using their product. And they said, could you do a video about our product, like a dedicated video showing how you use it, because we like how you are explaining it. I think I had less than 20 videos on my channel, and I'm pretty sure I had somewhere between maybe 1,000 to 2,000 subscribers at the time. Brands are willing to pay me, not for my reach or my audience, but they're willing to pay me just like they would pay somebody to produce a video for them. And so they're willing to hire that part out and have creators create videos that are sponsored by them, you know, just because they can't do it themselves.
Rob Alasabas here, head of partnerships here at Uscreen, and welcome to the Video Entrepreneur Podcast. Very excited to have you here. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're ready to learn some awesome ways to build your revenue streams with your video content. Now, today I'm joined by Salma Jaffrey to talk about some of my most favorite topics: brand deals, sponsorships, and affiliate revenues. Salma is a YouTube coach, video strategist, and speaker. She's a good friend of mine, and I'm excited for you to meet her. But before we chat with Salma, I just like to invite you to subscribe to our podcast on YouTube or on your favorite podcasting app. We have new episodes every single week. And if you found value in our show, one of the episodes, or hopefully more, please take a moment, leave us a review or a comment. That helps us get this podcast out to as many creators as possible. And so with that, let's talk to Salma. Salma, so good to see you. It has been a crazy couple of years, but it's good to reconnect again and see you here. How are you doing?
It has been a while, Rob. I am doing really, really well. And, you know, I'm glad that we're all getting back into the business side of things after the pandemic and everything. And it's going, I think there's been ebbs and flows the past 2 years. And, you know, things are really, really looking up right now. So that's great.
Yeah, great. Really good to see you. I know you've been busy. I know we were chatting a little bit before recording. You've been busy, you and your husband and your team. And yeah, really excited to just learn from you. Every time I watch one of your videos or interview you or catch up, I always learn something new. And today we're talking about something that I'm very, very passionate about. I love talking about, which is going to be brand deals and affiliates. But before we do that, yeah, exactly. Before we do that, though, I want, for the folks that maybe this is the first time they're coming across you and meeting you, I'd love for you to just share a little bit about who you are, what your content is about, a little bit about your business. Sure. Yeah, feel free.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a YouTube coach and a video marketing strategist, as well as a speaker. And those three worlds kind of come together for me because I actually got started in 2009. So I did corporate for 9 years, like 9-to-5 job and everything. And then in 2009, I left my job and started my own business. And it started with, you know, services. So freelance services, writing, training, e-learning, marketing, those kind of services. And I actually made my first YouTube video in 2009. And here's something you might not know, Rob. My first YouTube video back in 2009 got 80,000 views in a month.
That's incredible.
It was part of a contest entry. It was talked about in major publications. I got invited for TV segments like morning shows and stuff because of it. But what happened that I wasn't prepared for and I didn't expect was that I got my first freelance job because of that video going nuts.
Wow.
And so a company reached out to me and they said, we love your video and we want you to make training videos for our company. And that was my first 10K gig based off of my first YouTube video. And I like to think that, you know, I didn't know what I was doing back then, but it kind of started the wheels turning in my mind that, okay, this is the thing.
Yeah, wow. I don't even know where you go from there, right? Your first video.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I didn't know that. That's very cool. I mean, it's very hard to even get 80,000 views now on one video, you know, after years, right?
It's like, actually harder now. Yeah,
right? I know, right?
No. You know, yeah, back then there was like not, the same amount of competition. And it was a fairly new field at that time.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, you definitely know what you're doing. So since 2009, that's when your channel started, or
No. So I, like you said, I had no idea what to do with that. I got that first freelance gig and I was like, okay, that's cool. But I really didn't know how YouTube works. Mm-hmm. I had no idea how to, that first video took me a month to make. So a month of storyboarding and planning. And I was really unnatural on camera. I had to learn how to, you know, get adjusted mm-hmm. to camera presence, learn how to speak. There was so much learning to do. So I actually dabbled in 2015, 2016, but I actually started my YouTube channel in earnest in 2017. That's how long, I mean, people say, you know, 10 years, but yeah, that's how long it took to just understand how to work the platform.
Wow. But I mean, even then, I mean, now it's, you know, 2022, five long or short years, however you want to look at the last few years. You know, you've gone from starting your channel to now basically, you know, speaking all over the world. I think the last time I saw you, you were speaking in Dubai, right? Was it Dubai or
It was Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Close enough. Yes. and, you know, just all over the place. And, you know, it's definitely opened up, you know, so many opportunities for you and your business.
So many opportunities. Yeah. Really. I've spoken in Europe, Scotland, Sweden, Denmark, Boston, Los Angeles, Dallas, and then Asia, you know, so yeah, definitely all over the world.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Well, I want to talk about monetization and everything, because when I look at you and you, I think about your channel, it's really like, you know, how it's like you teach people how to create content, how to build an audience, and I think basically how to build a business, right, around all of this and talking to entrepreneurs. So I think the folks that are listening or watching, I think it's the perfect audience for what you have to share. So, but before that though, like I'm curious, because I've been asking a lot of people, you know, in the last few years, how has it really helped, I think, you know, with people in our industry, in videos and online, digital? How have you guys been impacted by, you know, everything, you know, COVID and all of these crazy things around the world?
Yeah. Yeah, crazy is right. It has definitely been, I see that there are two kinds of people, one who, you know, accept whatever is happening and ones who look at everything as an opportunity. Mm. And when COVID first started and we went into lockdown, it was an opportunity to spend more family time. There was homeschooling and, you know, we did a lot of baking. We renovated our kitchen. I mean, we just went all in on the family stuff. And work-wise, you know, I just saw that because people were online, I think everyone experienced massive interest in everything online at that point because we were all learning how to do everything ourselves. I was watching video tutorials on how to cut my own hair. you know, that like all that kind of stuff was happening, right? So interest was sky high the past 2 years. And now as the world opens up, I see that every single thing that started to gain momentum and traction now is just on a roller coaster ride. So it's either going really fast uphill or it's petering out, you know. The things that I see going really fast are, for example, the online course business, the video streaming business, the e-learning sector, the creator economy. All of these things are just projected to be in the billions by 2025. And I think the last 2 years really made people see how they can be a part of it and capitalize on it and create content, not for fun necessarily, but also as their full-time income and also having a great, you know, family life and balancing out their time with all the things that they gotten used to doing during the pandemic, which is more family time and balancing that with work. Yeah. I think it's been a real learning lesson for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely has. It definitely has. One of the videos, and I think you've got a couple of videos on this in your channel, is that I really like is how to find trends and how to hop on trends. And I just think that you probably have a very analytical mind, I imagine, you know, because you
I'm totally type A personality, Aries, very analytic, but also creative after the analysis is done. Right. So I see, okay, what's the logical progression of things? And then how can I explain this in a way that my audience would find value from that? Yeah. So looking at trends is just fun for me to do, because when I'm looking at my clients' YouTube channels and we're thinking about, okay, you know, what kind of topics do you want to create? So it has to be a balance between what they want to do and also what's going to help them find and attract a growing audience. Mm-hmm. So there has to be that balance. And so I really find that looking at what is already happening in their industry that they can jump on and add value to, give their opinions on, is like a great mesh of those two strategies.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because I think a lot of creators, it's not like you can't make them, you can't create the market so much as basically there's already a market out there for what you have to teach and share. You just have to find it. Is that sort of like your, is that the approach? Is
yeah,
that like,
I mean, you know, when people just jump into entrepreneurship for the first time, and a lot of people like have like jobs and they're doing side gigs with YouTube and stuff, it's hard enough as it is. It's scary enough as it is. And if you ask them, oh, you need to reinvent your space completely and do something that's never been done before, that would put them off. That would be too hard, and it would be too many steps forward all at once. Right. So you want to start with, okay, what is already happening that you can lend your voice to, that you can come at it from a different angle, bring in your perspective, bring in your experience to, so you can find an audience that's already there and tap into that with your unique personality.
Love that. Great. Yeah. No, it's the balance between creative mind and analytical mind is a must, whether you have it yourself or you have maybe a partner that has what you don't have in your business, or somebody has, or a consultant, somebody has to speak into both sides of those things, I think, to be successful, right? On YouTube. So yeah, fantastic. Well, I want to shift the conversation over to business, and really want to just get your thoughts, just open mic your thoughts between how brand deals and sponsorships, and then also affiliates, kind of collide and intersect in your business.
So from my personal experience, I got my first brand deal. So I just told you that I for real started my channel in January 2017. Yeah. And I got my first brand deal in November 2017.
Okay.
And it was for $700, which was not an insignificant amount at that time.
Yeah.
For my first brand deal ever.
It's pretty good.
And what happened was that I saw that a brand reached out to me. It was not because I had tons of subscribers or tons of views, but they reached out to me because I was using their product. Mm. They liked how I was using their product, and they said, could you do a video about our product, like a dedicated video showing how you use it, because we like how you are explaining it. Mm. And so I was like, okay. I had no idea how much to charge back at that time. I just kind of winged it.
Yep.
And it worked.
There you go. How big was your channel? I'm curious. How big was your channel at that time?
My channel, I think I had less than 20 videos on my channel. And I'm pretty sure I had somewhere between maybe 1,000 to 2,000 subscribers at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So it was a really tiny channel. And I, you know, I got that first brand deal. And that's when I realized that brands are willing to pay me not for my my reach or my audience, but they're willing to pay me just like they would pay somebody to produce a video for them. Mm-hmm. Because I have the gear, I have the equipment, I have the on-screen talent or the you know, ability to be on camera, and they might not have an in-house production unit. Mm-hmm. And so they're willing to hire that part out and have creators create videos that are sponsored by them, you know, just because they can't do it themselves.
Yeah, that's good. That's actually really something that a lot of creators need to hear, right? Like, because a lot of us think like, oh, brands will only work with me when I have 10,000 subscribers, or, you know, And what do you say to those folks? Like, what do you say to that? Because I'm sure they're in your program and they're in your channel in the comments, right?
They are. And also because I've done workshops on this, and I typically ask people this question right at the start. I ask them, okay, what's your number one challenge, or what's something that you believe needs to happen before brands are going to work with you? And I hear the answers over and over again all the time, and they're very similar. The first one is brands won't work with you unless you have a large following, views and subscribers. Then, you know, brands are going to dictate the content, they're going to become like overbearing and be like, you know, want revisions and want to own copyright on your channel or something weird like that. That one is a fear as well.
Yeah.
Then there is the other fear that they're not actually going to pay really well. And people are like, you know, if they're just going to offer me peanuts, then why even bother? Because my channel is so small, they're not going to offer me. Like one client actually said to me, I don't think they're going to offer me more than $20 for this video. These are the fears in people's minds, right? And then the other one is that brands won't be reaching out to you. You have to always be the one to initiate contact and run after them and pitch them and, you know, do all of that work, which we don't really enjoy doing, like, no. You know, running after and pitching brands and writing emails. And then the other one is that brands only work with creators who are already working with brands. Mm-hmm. So how do you get started as a fresh creator? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the, challenges that I've heard people talk about. And that's kind of my mission, to break those myths, because I think they're all false beliefs.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it, and I show people actual emails from brands to me, mm-hmm. and all of those emails they talk about why they're reaching out to me. Mm-hmm. And nowhere do they say we're reaching out to you because you have 10 million subscribers or 1,000, 10,000 views on this video. They never say that. You know what their reasons are?
No.
Their reasons are, you explained this really well.
Right.
We like how your audience responded to your product review. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed your explanation of XYZ software, and we want you to help, do our software like that. And then the other one they say is, you're ranking for this term on Google, and we want to rank for this term, right? Via you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're the shortcut almost. You're the shortcut for them. Yeah, yeah. The other thing that I think a lot of brands, because I'm on both sides of this conversation, the brands and also the creator side, is that you're a fit for our audience, right? There's a lot to be said about, like, oh, your channel's a perfect fit for what we have to offer. So yeah, but yeah, all of those, I feel like you're in my head. That's all of those reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I teach my clients that there are two things that brands are looking for. One, which you just said, is there an audience match? Mm-hmm. And then the second one is the creator credible? Mm. Meaning, do they see you as somebody who is aligned with their values? That's Can right. you talk about products? Do you know how to review products? Do you know how to get people to understand how to use these tools or physical products or software or whatever? Can you be the front person? Are you credible as the front person of right. a brand?
Right.
You know, and I've done like brand ambassadorships and all, and that's really what they're looking for. They're looking for that audience match. And then, are you credible as a spokesperson for the brand?
Exactly. Exactly. Do you align? I think that's a great word. Awesome. Yeah. I like all of those. Let's speaking to the folks that maybe are just starting with brand deals, like,
yep.
Nobody likes to chase. Like you said, nobody likes to chase, brands and things. What are a couple ways that brand or creators can start sort of doing? I think if you guys didn't catch it, I think when you said earlier, there was somebody that like the first brand deal that you had, it went like 80,000, right? 80,000 views. And so
that was the first video.
The first video that you did. Though. Yeah. First video that you, sorry. Your first brand deal, you said that they liked it because you're a user of the product.
So, I was a user of the product. They heard me talking about the product.
Yeah, they heard you talking about the product. Yeah, yeah. So is that sort of like tip number one, or is that like is that a must? Do you think like?
Well, I've made it more into a logical system now because but this is part luck, right? You talk about a product and somehow the brand hears it. Like that's that's not a strategy.
Right.
Yeah. So in order to turn this into something that small creators, they're just getting started, or people with a small YouTube channel or even a medium-sized YouTube channel, often don't think that they're ready enough to work with brands. And here's what I say to them to get started. The first exercise we do together is to write down all of the products, physical products, tools, softwares that you use currently in your business and would not hesitate to recommend. Mm-hmm. So we make a list and it's a complete brainstorming exercise where I ask them, okay, so like, for example, I'll say, somebody would say, well, I like to take notes. I'm like, okay, so how do you take notes? Do you have a journal? Do you have a notebook? And they'll be like, oh yeah, this is the product I use, or I use Moleskine or whatever. And so they won't even realize that they're using products that they love already. So they don't need to do any research at this point. They just need to go inside their own heads and think about all the stuff they're already using. What mic are they using? What headphones are you wearing? What apparel do you like to wear? What jewelry? What makeup? What, you know, laptops? What lights? I did one on like a tomato timer for productivity. Like, there's so many books, you know, there's so many things we use every single day that we would be happy to recommend.
Yeah.
And so that's the first step where we start from. We make that list. And the second thing I like to do is look for products that have an affiliate program. Because what happens then is even if they don't, you know, hire you to make a brand sponsored video with them, you still get some returns via affiliate commissions. So you don't feel like, often creators feel like, oh my God, this was just not worth my time. And I spent all this time chasing this brand or making this video and it turned out to, you know, I didn't gain anything from it. So I try to look for products that have affiliate programs and have them sign up for a few of those programs.
Right.
So that's step two. Step three then is to create what I call, there are 10 types, but you create one. It's called an authority video. So this is where creators say, well, I've never created product videos, so brands are not going to want to work with me. And that's true, because if they come to your channel and they just see content that doesn't talk about products, then they don't have any yardstick to see how are you as a spokesperson or an ambassador for a product. Like, how do you talk about products? They don't know. So you have to create what I call authority videos. So I teach 10 types of authority videos in my program that you can create. So I'll give you an example of one or two of them. So the first one is a comparison video. It's a this product versus that product. So for example, if you're talking about live streaming, let's say you could do Restream versus StreamYard, right? And then that comparison video, inside that video, you are basically weighing the pros and cons of both the products. You are saying, okay, here's the three features I'm going to discuss. In this feature, this product comes up higher. In this feature, this other product comes up. And here's my verdict. Who should use which product and when? Now, that's a great example of an authority video to create that's product central. And when a brand sees that kind of video, they know that you have the ability to evaluate products. You have the ability to talk from a balanced perspective. You have the ability to review. You have the ability to influence your audience to go this way or that way and choose and make buying decisions. So we do 10 types of authority videos inside the program. And that's basically, I think we're on step four. That's where we are. And then... Yeah. Step five is so simple. I don't write email pitches. I don't run after brands. I just simply share that product video with the brand via Twitter. It is so simple. And it is effective. It is so effective.
Just make sure you tag them, right?
You tag them, you share the video, and you don't expect anything in return. Right? You are not looking for, you know, running after them or anything. You just made that video because you liked the product. You use the product, you would happily recommend the product, you became an affiliate for the product. And then you make that video. And then if the brand watches that video, they're going to see that passion. They're going to see that you're not just, you know, just researched the product yesterday and came on and talked about it today. Like, you're an actual user. Like, you understand what you're talking about. And that's what they want to see. They want to see, are you credible? And is your audience aligned with their audience? That's what they want to see. And if they see that in a tweet and they come through and watch your video, they're going to come and reach back at you. They're going to be in your DMs. They're going to be like, okay, what do we do next? That's the point when you come in and say, aha, here's how we can work together.
I love it. I love that. It's so simple. You know, I think a lot of creators kind of overthink it. I mean, of course, there's brand kits and, you know, sponsorship decks.
We do
and
all of that,
like that
as well.
Yeah, you do all, you can do all step. Of that as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the next step. There you go. Yeah. Cause I think that's fantastic. That's a super simple way. I like what you said about don't expect anything. Do it because you want to create that content. You want to serve your audience as well. But let's fast forward a little bit, in terms of pricing, in terms of, you know, pricing and proposals, You don't have to give us numbers, Salma. Of course, you don't have to. But just curious how you price that. Like, is it, you know, usually do you do per videos? Do you do more of a series, ongoing?
Yeah,
Sort of terms,
I started doing ongoing contracts now, but I wouldn't say, I wouldn't recommend that to a new creator because it's a lot of responsibility too soon. So if you're doing one-off videos, then the way that I like to, and brands will sometimes want to negotiate, you know, in terms of, okay, what value are they going to be getting? And then I want to see, okay, but is it worth my time? So I look at the cost of producing that video for me and the opportunity cost of not producing that video.
Okay.
So the cost of producing that video for me will include stuff like, I have to script the video that would take, you know, maybe half an hour, an hour. I have to make sure that I have invested in my gear and equipment to put out a good quality video. I have my distribution channel, so I will make sure that I am distributing that video once it's been published to my network. So I have a Facebook group, I have a LinkedIn community, I have a Twitter channel, I have a Instagram page, and I have an email list. And so one of the things that I tell brands is that I will be distributing that video. I will be responsible for emailing and distributing and all of that. And I think it's over like 100,000 people altogether in all of these different networks with some overlap. So then I assign the value to the video that this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be storyboarding, scripting, filming, creating, post-producing, distributing, marketing. These are my costs. Now, what's a fair compensation value for me? If a company came along and said, we want you to create a video for us, how much would you charge? That's the dollar amount that I would assign. Okay. Here's what I would charge to create that one video. And it could be, you know, different variations. It could be like not an entire video. It could be like a pre-roll ad, for example, that they want me to create for them. Or so there are all of these different types. And now I have packages where you can choose, do you want a pre-roll ad or do you want a dedicated video or do you want a resource video where I list your product with others in its category? Do you want a package deal? Do you want a 6-month contract? You know, there are all these variations now. But the way that I like, and I want creators to think about it, is what is your cost of producing that video? Think about all the man hours and labor and resources that are going to go into that production, and then assign a dollar value to that.
I love it. I love that. My next question is actually around affiliates then. So you did mention before that, you know, sort of brand deals and affiliates kind of go hand in hand. I know you mentioned a little earlier that, you know, you're going to be an affiliate regardless, you know, for that, you know, authority videos. Does that continue on after even with the brand videos, or how does affiliates still continue to be part of, you know, your brand deals?
Well, some companies have special rates. For like when you become a super affiliate, your commissions might increase. Or if you are working with them as, you know, as a partner and doing brand deals with them, they might offer you a unique URL, a unique page, a unique commission hierarchy or structure. So it could change. And I often see that brands will add that to the dollar value of the sponsored video. They'll add in other incentives, like for your audience, we'll give this discount. For you as an affiliate, we'll bump you up to the highest tier of affiliate commissions. And I do appreciate that because I often find that good brands already have these things in place and they will offer that. It's not taking anything away from them or from you, really. And it's a good thing to offer your audience as well.
I love it. I love it. This has been really good. I've got one more question as we wrap up. But before we do, Salma, where can people learn all of this stuff? Where can they learn all the 10 authority videos that they should be making, all of this stuff? What's the best place to find you?
Yeah, so you can go to my website. It's salmajafri.com/authority videos. And I have a free guide on the 10 types of authority videos, how to title them, how to create thumbnails for all of them, how to actually, the content inside, how to structure them, what content to create, what should your call to action be, how to get people to take action on those videos. And then there's some examples of authority videos on YouTube currently from my own channel and other people's channels that you can sort of use for inspiration. So all of that is packed together in one PDF guide that you can download at salmajafri.com/authority videos.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, everybody go catch that. That's fantastic. Salma, before you go, I want to ask you, you know, because you're like right in the middle, you mentioned, you know, creator economy a little earlier. You know, you're speaking everywhere, you're talking to creators. Where do you see creators, you know, sort of this ecosphere of creators and brands and, you know, consumer products and all of this stuff? Where does creators kind of sit? What's the opportunity for them, in your own words, over the next couple years, few years?
Yeah, I mean, it's, know, so funny.
As the space gets bigger.
That when brands send me contracts, they often label me as the video influencer, and I stop them at that point, and I'm like, no. Influencer means that I'm in charge of your sales or your ROI or whatever, because that's the tradition. Right. Like, the word influencer has been maligned quite a lot, right? And they sort of see it as that as well. Like, they say, oh, we're working with an influencer. What is the ROI of working with this influencer? I stop them right there at that point, and I'm like, no. I need the contract to say video creator. So I'm already like getting them into the creator economy mindset. Okay. Yeah. So we come back to that. So the creator economy for me is changing. Web 3.0 is here. Creators are going. So as far as I can see right now, creators are being treated with more respect. I'm glad the word influencer is out and creator is in. So just in terms of terminology shift, you know, I'm hoping the money is going to follow that, and the, you know, other things are going to follow that as well, because I see that becoming a creator is part of being an entrepreneur. It's kind of like a subset, you know, so you are an entrepreneur, you're thinking about business models, you're thinking about risk, you're thinking about market demand and supply and all of those things that a business owner would think about. But then you're also thinking about how to create content and how to be creative and how to grow a following and an audience. And so I find that the creator economy is kind of like a subset of the larger online entrepreneurship space, but it's becoming like a thing on its own. You know, people are now proud to call themselves creators. People are proud. Like, once upon a time, it was like a, oh, you create. Oh, that's nice. You know, kind of like a condescending tone. But I find that a lot more respect is attached to it now.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Make sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss any of the new episodes as they are published every single week. And if you want to learn more about Uscreen for your business, or you want to join our affiliate partner program, head over to uscreen.link/podcast to get more information. And I'll see you in the next episode.